Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Painting the Stream. I am one of your hosts. My name is Dan Reichert, and the other host is sitting across the table from me. That is Bonk Reichert. Bonkford, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm sitting here with you. We got the old Razor being a weirdo on the bed, so all is the way it should be. What's new with you in Bonkland?
Just watching and hoping Razor doesn't keep clawing at my clothing.
Yeah, he's doing his thing where he's being very meticulous about how he lays down, and that usually involves being on whatever clothes are in the immediate vicinity.
We have a super comfy bed, a really big, really comfy bed. Anywhere you lay there, for a dog especially, dogs have pretty low standards when it comes to comfort, would be ideal. But he has to lay on top of my clothes.
Yeah.
That I laid out on there.
It's like an extra millimeter of comfort, and it smells like you. So I think he's into it.
He's so cute.
Speaking of into it, this is episode 3 of our season 2 coverage. I don't know if coverage is the word, but I guess that works. Yeah, of My Hero Academia, one of our favorites here at Painting the Stream. So these are going to be episodes 11 through 15, if you're looking at normal numbers. The Hulu numbers are weird. I believe those are 24 through 28, if you were looking to watch that. And we watched the dub, which I don't think we've really talked about, but the dub I think is great. I think the voices are awesome. Mm-hmm. Chris Sabat from A Million Voices, like all the voices that are the best ones on Dragon Ball Z, does the voice of All Might here. So yeah, real good stuff there with the dub.
Yeah, I think that... isn't the dub generally frowned upon by people who are super hardcore into anime?
I think you hear that as, like, I don't know if it's always a joke or mostly a joke sometimes, but I think with certain shows, they'll have, like, notoriously bad dubs and, like, oh, you don't watch the dub, you gotta do subs for that one. Not being an anime expert, mm-hmm. I've never claimed to be, you can't find any tape of that, mm-hmm. I think it probably varies wildly based on the material you're watching.
Gotcha.
Me, I tend to like hearing the voices and not reading, so I can focus on all the fun stuff happening on the screen there.
Yeah, I think when it comes to, like, certain, like, foreign dramas that are slower, it's not as big of an issue to have to read the subtitles, but anime is so action-packed most of the time that it kind of does a disservice when you're watching it to have to be constantly looking at the bottom of the screen, because when there's so much action happening,
yeah,
you know, I feel like dubs are the way to go, unless it's especially, like, egregiously terrible.
Yeah, unless it's, like, this is an anime, obviously, but, like, Terrace House is an example of, like, of course I would not want dubs for that. Like, you want to hear the characters, like, the tone and their voices and everything, and but however you want to watch My Hero, I'm sure it's a great show. So these episodes 11 through 15, I feel like more than any other stretch of this show, these are transitional episodes.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
It really feels like after episode 10, they kind of wrapped up the sports festival thing and everything, mm-hmm. and now we are definitely shifting gears, because this is a much longer season here. The first season was much shorter, and so I think it just kind of told that one story.
Was it like 15 episodes last season?
I thought the... Is that right? I think maybe, yeah, like somewhere between 12 and 15 or
did
something like that.
Did we do 3 Panning Streams?
We only did 2 podcasts about it. So I think we watched like 7 episodes for the first one and maybe like 6 or 7 for the next one.
Ah.
So somewhere in the early teens there, I think. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one, I think, is 25. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, I definitely agree. Like the sports festival, we're seeing the tail end of that. The kids are back to class, and then they start this new internship program. So yeah. We're right on the tail end of the festival and the beginning of their internship stuff.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it feels like almost a new season is starting, because we have a new intro, like, whole new, like, animation community. Yeah, yeah.
It sucks.
I know you weren't big on the second theme.
Well, okay, it doesn't suck, but I'm just so angry still, and I resent the showrunners that they would get rid of that amazing first season theme song. I really looked forward to it.
The first one is definitely the best. So after a couple of these episodes we've done for season 2, I've seen some people say that the next one, when season 3 starts, is, like, the one that people love. So let's start with episode 11 here.
That's where we should start.
We should. That's the first one we watched from this bunch here. And so Endeavor is proud because Sun used his fire ability. But Todoroki just totally blows him off and is like, I wasn't even thinking about you out there.
Right.
Which is a lie, right? Because he was, like, very actively thinking about whether or not to use his father's ability.
I would think. I mean, he was plagued by thoughts of his father. His father standing on the stands watching him and stuff. It was like he was inundated with thoughts of his dad. It was unavoidable.
He was having flashbacks to his childhood, like, as he's getting, like, knocked across the battlefield and everything. Mm-hmm. It was definitely front and center in his mind. So Deku's in the hospital here because, if you remember, when he was fighting, it was during the fight with Todoroki, right? Yeah. Where he was, like, using all his fingers and flicking everything.
And that's where Todoroki used his fire as well.
That's right. So, yeah, Deku's hand is all, like, bent and everything. His fingers were all screwed up, so he's got to go to Recovery Girl and have this, like, surgery type thing.
A lot of his body was, it's usually purple when it gets all, you know, crapped up.
But don't get medical on the people here.
But, like, this time it was, like, black. It looked like it was... He had gangrene or some shit, but he's in rough shape, and apparently he has permanent damage to his hand now.
Yeah.
Which I guess will just manifest in that little scar that we see in subsequent episodes. I don't know if it'll have any meaningful impact, but...
Yeah, and that was the fear of, what's that, Miss Midnight and the Concrete Man near the end, was they were like, they wanted to step in and stop this because they thought it would be, like, irreparable damage.
Right, yeah. And Recovery Girl says that next time this happens, she will not heal him, which... You know, don't they take the Hippocratic Oath or whatever?
Isn't the Hippocratic Oath, is that you have to help someone in need, or is that, oh, we won't tell people, like, we'll keep all your medical stuff private unless you tell us to...
No, it's the thing.
It's the help people thing?
Yeah, I think you're thinking of the HIPAA laws or whatever, that you have to, like, stand a few feet back when you're in the pharmacy. You can't be right up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You always got to sign the privacy forms and stuff like that. I don't know anything about medical stuff at all.
You know plenty. You're a doctor. You're a medical doctor.
I don't like to tell the people that. I got to keep it kayfabe.
An expert on ear, nose, and throat.
Ear, nose, and throat? Those are my three.
And gynecology and gastroenterology.
I'm a real renaissance man
you
of the
are.
Human body.
Yeah,
yes.
You are a master of skin holes.
Oh, again, getting medical on the people.
I mean,
you're going to lose
skin tubes,
them.
Really? I mean, intestines, the thing that goes from your nose to your mouth. Isn't that a thing?
Oh, the flesh tube.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well, flesh tubes. I was thinking about that earlier. We were talking about it because Dan's been having, like, back issues, and he's going to this intense, like, physical therapy thing that's, like, getting all his knots out. And it just made me so uncomfortable to think about, like, how we really are just meat.
Oh, 100%.
And, like, we eat meat and stuff. Like, I don't eat it all the time. But, like, I'll cook chicken for Dan, so I'm always handling, like, meat.
Yeah.
And it just got me thinking about how we're all just... talking meat.
Yeah.
With eyeballs that move.
Talking, thinking meat.
Yeah, we think and we have, you know, personalities and memories, but really we're just, you know, if it's like how we regard ants is really how we should regard ourselves. We're just little dots meandering about trying to find our way, trying to collect that single almond that fell on the sidewalk and bring it back to your home and be celebrated by your colony of fellow ants as a hero for years to come because you found one almond. Well, that one almond in ant world is probably like, what? Like, oh, you're the hero of the city for the human equivalent of that, right? I mean, you'd be the all might of the earth realm if you found an almond and you were an ant, wouldn't you say?
Did you just refer to life as the earth realm? And that's it for this week. Thanks to everyone for listening. No.
Anyway, My Hero Academia.
So there's a lot of battles here, and I'm just going to run through just kind of who wins and, like, if there's anything noteworthy. So stop me if I'm burning through this and you get anything specific from one of these battles you want to talk about.
Because,
like, these are not, like, the big main event ones. These are kind of montage-y. So you got the Vine Girl versus Ida, and Ida just grabs her and, like, Boost runs her out of bounds.
Yes.
You got Tokoyami, the Birdman, versus Mina, the Pinkhead. Pina.
The acid girl.
Yes, and he just used the Dark Shadow Bird to push her out. Bakugo beats Hard Guy Kirishima. Hard Guy. There are two Hard Guys, the Hard Bros. Ida fights Todoroki, so this
they
is one of the bigger ones. Yes. So Todoroki boxes him in with ice at the beginning. So, like, right away he knows that Ida's whole thing is boosting around being fast, so he just, like, boxes him in. And I thought there was some cool stuff here where Ida was doing these, like, booster enhanced kicks, where we would see all these, like, big roundhouses with, like, the jets firing and stuff like that. I thought that was awesome.
He was using his special moves.
Yes. I thought that was great. And Ida tries to grab Todoroki and sprint him out, but Todoroki does the cool thing where he freezes just the boosters and immobilizes them. And that's how you win. You can win by immobilizing. And so he wins without using fire, which is the whole thing he's been trying to do.
Right.
And then we got Bakugo made Birdman submit, grabbed his beak, made him cry uncle. And we, near the end of this episode here, we start focusing on Ida and his brother, which mm-hmm. is going to be a big thing throughout these five. And so his brother's basically a Power Ranger who's running around town.
Ingenium.
Yes, he calls himself Ingenium, and he runs around Hosu City stopping crime.
Not clear what his quirk is.
No, I don't think I am clear what that is, but he is like a well-respected, like, crime stopper type dude.
Yes.
And so that's, he very much looks up to him. He's got a very successful family. And so Ida's brother, Tensei, yes, he finds someone known as the Hero Killer mm-hmm. in an alley. And this is a dude with, like, bandanas all over the place and swords. Real ominous, shadowy, scary, glowy-eyed dude.
You're right.
He's one of those guys, the second he's on screen, it's like, oh, okay, he's clearly a super bad guy. Mm-hmm. Like, there are jerks in Class 1A, but this guy is, like, straight-up super villain.
And undeniably bad. Unquestionably yes. bad. He doesn't even have a schnoz. He's so bad.
Yeah, it might be underneath the bandana. If it is, it's not protruding
much. Maybe
he
just has holds like that guy from Harry Potter.
Oh, the Voldemort?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it could be like that.
He's got some holes.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see that.
Yeah, well, that's never a good look.
Nah, not so much. But Ida gets a call from his mother saying that Tensei, the brother, has been severely wounded, mm-hmm. and it is at the hands of the Hero Killer. We learn it is named Stain.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be a thing throughout these five episodes, is kind of introducing Stain. Not spending a whole lot of time with him, but by the end of these five, it's clear that he's going to be like a pretty focal point of the season.
Yeah,
going
yeah,
forward.
We'll talk about it more, but he definitely separates himself from the other seemingly 100% evil just for the sake of evil League of Villains.
Yeah, he seems like a monologue-y type villain, where he's like, oh, dude, these people, they don't know what, you know, life, and...
Right.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
So Ida leaves the competition early.
Yeah, so
competition? Whatever.
Yeah, the competition. And he gets on a train and goes to Hosu City to track this down. And so we see the warp guy from the first season kind of show up.
He goes to the hospital to see his brother. He doesn't go to Hosu City.
Oh, right, right. He goes to the hospital first. But the warp gate guy from season one shows up and introduces himself to Stain. And we also see the handsy guy, Tamura, at his computer.
Mr.
So,
Hands, yeah.
Yeah, so clearly there's some sort of cahoots or attempted cahoots or bad guy introductions going on here to serve some nefarious end.
Yeah, it seems like Kurugiri wants to invite Stain to join the League of Heels, villains.
Yeah, yes.
But isn't it funny, like, Stain is a really good villain name, and yet the word Stain doesn't really evoke anything particularly evil.
Yeah, but no one likes stains. And
well,
so,
no one likes them, but they're more of an inconvenience than anything. I mean,
yeah, they're not murdering your family.
You can answer any type of stain. Like, you got some blood on a shirt or whatever, hydrogen peroxide. You have any kind of protein base. Like, you ever get the yellow stain on a white shirt, like around your armpits?
Yeah.
Which sucks for me because I so rarely wear white. And then the one time I have the balls to do it, I have this fucking gross stain. Use OxyClean. OxyClean is great for protein-based stains. You know, there's an answer for every kind of stain. The question is there an answer to the Hero Killer
Whoa.
Stain?
Oh, boy.
That remains to be seen.
Man, flexing those podcast muscles here. Look at us critiquing stuff with fancy language and segues, and you're a goddamn pro here.
Wow. That's my quirk.
You turned your Aunt Almond thing into an All Might thing. You worked in an All Might reference at the end of that. You're a goddamn pro. Next up is a big one. We got Todoroki versus Bakugo.
Yeah, the final battle of the sports festival.
Yeah, yeah, the finals of the tournament. So Todoroki, staring at his hand, thinking about his mom, as he's known to do. we've only learned that stuff in the last bunch of episodes, but yeah, that's a Todoroki thing to do.
That's what he
does. Yeah, and Bakugo kicks the door open. They're back in, like, the locker rooms, and he's basically just screaming and taunting. Like, use your flames on me, don't hold back, like, you gotta give me everything. Like, he's super obsessed with this, like, hey, don't go half-ass on me.
Yeah, because I guess in his mind it won't be a true victory unless he beats him at his full strength.
Yeah, Bakugo, very very prideful. Villain is too strong of a word now that I feel actual
just
villains.
He has a ton of pride.
He's a jerk.
Yeah,
he's a prideful
definitely
jerk.
Definitely a jerk.
Yes. And so at the beginning, Todoroki does a huge ice wave, and Bakugo does all these cool, like, fast explosion punches mm-hmm. to kind of break his way through that. Lots of cool stuff happening here. Todoroki makes an ice wave and is, like, surfing it around. That looks super cool. Lots of Bakugo trying to coax the fire mm-hmm. out. Lots of taunting and, like, give me all you've got. And it kind of works because Todoroki starts heating up the fire thing as Bakugo is, like, charging with this big M. Bison Psycho Crusher. But at the last second, he kind of pulls back and decides not to use the fire. Mm-hmm. And there's a big old, you know, Dragon Ball-esque cloud of smoke. And it's, oh, you can't wait for it to dissipate and see who's still standing.
Whenever there's a cloud and you can't see anyone immediately fall, you know they're just going to be standing there when the smoke clears.
Not Todoroki here, though.
Because he was pushed out of bounds, yeah.
Yes, he is laying on the ice out of bounds, which apparently counts as being knocked out. And Miss Midnight sleep gasses them because she doesn't want it to go any further. You know, we've already had some major injuries in this tournament. And she declares Bakugo the winner of the entire sports festival.
But he's not happy about it.
No, to the point where during the Mario Kart medal ceremony at the end here, he is in full, like, Hannibal Lecter setup, just, like, freaking out in shackles, just absolutely furious at being given a gold medal and a pep talk by All Might.
Yeah. I would think that, you know, UA being a hero school, the best hero school in the business, maybe the only hero school in the business, I don't know, they never talked about any other ones, that they'd want the person who won the sports festival to be, like, representative of what we want our future heroes to be like. And I feel like Bakugo is undeniably extremely powerful. I mean, obviously the two students with the most powerful offensive abilities got to the end. But I think they should take into account, you know, more personal characteristics, like whether they've saved anyone, whether how they approach their attacks and stuff. You know, I don't think that Bakugo is the right choice, but I guess at the end of the day, the sports festival is just a measure of how strong your abilities are.
Yeah, maybe that can be saved for like an end of the school year ceremony or like a yearbook awards or something, like, oh, most exemplary hero or whatever. And that could go to the more like Ida got the class president thing. Mm-hmm. And that's like a, hey, you need to be a good role model and leader and all that.
Yeah, I mean, that's all just to say that I think the sports festival is just more, less about who's the best hero and more just about who has the strongest, physically strongest abilities. Because even, you know, I remember the last set of episodes we did, we talked about the brainwashing guy, I forgot his name, which is an awesome and, like, probably one of the most powerful abilities available.
Yeah.
But as soon as people learn what they have to do or, I guess, not do, talk to him in order to avoid his abilities, and it's kind of rendered pointless. But it's still undeniably extremely powerful.
Yeah.
But, you know, this sports festival is really just conducive to the more physical abilities, which is kind of like what the test was, too, the initial test. And that's what that eraser head guy was talking about in the beginning of the Deku brainwashing guy fight, about how it's, like, not really a good test because it doesn't really lend itself well to certain types of abilities.
Yeah. And they even made mention of how Bakugo's quirk specifically was really good for this type of tournament because it is so versatile. Mm-hmm. So it allowed him to kind of like get ahead and dodge the ice during the obstacle race and stuff like that. Like, it gives him a lot of mobility. It gives him offensive power. Mm-hmm. Like, it let him deflect the ice early on. Like, Bakugo has a great quirk, and he also is kind of smart about it. Like, he uses it with a bit of like panache and thought and everything.
Well, he uses it obviously as an offensive attack, but he uses it to move around a lot too.
Yeah, which I think is cool. Yeah, it looks awesome. Yeah. He's like dodging attacks with it and stuff. Todoroki comes in second and the Birdman gets third. And now is when Ida is actually heading to Hosu City. He's on the train now to go check out his brother. And he sees his mother at the hospital. And the brother has had surgery at this point, but it sounds like he is going to be paralyzed. Mm-hmm. So not good. Ida is very mad and already wants vengeance on whoever put this upon his brother. Also, very quick thing where Todoroki visits his mother in like this small apartment, or I don't know if it was a mental hospital.
It seemed like a mental hospital.
Okay, yeah. And she's, you know, a little older.
Because he had to like check in with that front desk. When
that's right.
There,
you know? Yeah. And so that didn't really blossom into, they didn't really do a whole lot with that. They just saw her kind of turn around. We know he went there. Mm-hmm. But it's not really called back upon in these next few episodes. So
I think it just went to show that, you know, he's been kind of putting this stuff off with his parents for so long, and he knows that he has to, you know, resolve those issues if he's going to be the hero that he wants to be, because it's obviously the parental stuff that's holding him back.
Right.
You know, he feels reluctant to use his firepower because of, obviously, what his relationship with his dad, but also his relationship with his mom, because his mom resented that part of him so much.
Totally.
So I think in going to see her, it was kind of like supposed to be a mending offenses kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's clear where his kind of loyalties lie.
Yeah. So I don't know if they would address that again, but I think if they just leave it like that, I think that's enough, but,
yeah,
you know, we'll see.
Yep, and moving into episode 13 here. So this whole episode is kind of built around Aizawa tells the class that they need to get code names, and they need to pick their hero identities, mm-hmm. and because they're going to start doing internships with superheroes that are looking for new interns, mm-hmm. Basically trying out new sidekicks. And Miss Midnight has final approval over names. So we get a real long sequence here of a lot of people, you know, pitching their names, getting rejected for names, getting right. their names, all that stuff. I'll run down a few here real quick. I did like Yuga, the penis laser man, wanting to be named I Cannot Stop Twinkling. It's a good hero name. Mina gets Alien Queen rejected. I like that Sue wanted to be called Froppy, and everyone loved it. Don't know what Froppy means, but I will call her Froppy from now on if she sticks with that. Kirishima is going to be Red Riot. The electric guy wants to be Jamming Yay, which I don't know if that was a weird translation thing, because I don't know what the hell that means. You got Tentacold, you got Tailman, you got Sugar Man, Invisible Girl. Todoroki wants to be known just as Shoto, just as Midoriya goes with Deku, which is mm-hmm. what we've been calling him anyway. Grape Kid wants to be called Grape Juice, so that's easy. Got that. Bakugo, of course, wants to be called King Explosion Murder, and that's rejected. Mm-hmm. He tries to amend it to Lord Explosion Murder, also rejected. Yubaraka is Uravity. And we get another thing with Ida here, where, you know, he sees his brother being paralyzed, and he's like, Ida, I want you to take my name and Ingenium. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I can't do that. I'm just going to be Tenya.
Right.
And so that's that.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning that what prompted them to get codenames is because after the sports festival, they got, well, a handful of the students got offers from pros to, I guess, be at their agency or whatever. So this is in preparation for internships at the agencies that were, that I guess, like reached out and wanted to.
Yeah, they were like actively like recruiting and being like, yeah, who do you got? We'd like right. to bring some people in. All Might shows up at the end of this process, and he's bent over all weird and says he is here and in a bizarre position, so he draws attention to his weird stance, and tells Deku that he got an offer from Gran Torino, who was All Might's homeroom teacher and knows about One For All.
He's just Clint Eastwood from that movie.
Yep, yep. So, he is an old guy, but that's about where the similarities end. And Ida specifically wants to go to the hero agency in Hosu City to avenge his brother. Mm-hmm. So that whole episode is basically just kind of setting up all those names and everything. And 14 is where we learn about actual Gran Torino with a hell of an intro. Deku walks into the room mm-hmm. and Gran Torino is laying in what appears to be blood.
And intestines.
Yes. And it turns out he's just an old weird guy who is carrying a plate of sausages and ketchup and fell down. And talks to Deku, immediately forgets that Deku is there.
Yeah, Deku thinks this guy is really old and just senile.
Yeah.
And then goes to make a phone call because he wants to get out of the situation.
Yeah, he's like, oh god, I've made a huge mistake. This mm-hmm. guy, like, doesn't even have his faculties in order. But he flips around between, like, aloof old guy and, like, crazy flying around the room teacher back and forth. And that is actually his quirk, is that he's got Jet, which just he's just this ping pong ball, basically, that flies across the room. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. He is a fun, weird guy.
So, am I mistaken? He never inherited All Might's power, right? Or he didn't have All Might's power before All Might did, right?
He knows about All For One. I didn't, or One For All. I always get that mixed up. I don't know if he was one of the ones that, like, passed it down and one of the, like,
I mean,
figures.
I thought initially, but then his power is so different. It's not the same power. So.
Yeah, I think it might have just been his teacher because, like, the teachers don't always have the same abilities, but he was definitely aware of it and did, like, a ton of combat training with All Might and everything. We actually got, like, a flashback of All Might and his, like, young gear, which is pretty cool.
Right.
But, yeah, Jet is Gran Torino's quirk, and he basically tells Deku that his admiration of All Might is, like, a shackle on him. That, like, you need to get over this thing. You need to become your own guy and become one with your quirk and all this stuff.
Right.
And we see who Ida got, and Ida got hired by Manuel, who... I don't know if these guys are supposed to come across as lame because, like, I think later on Manuel even says, like, listen, I know the only reason you went with my rinky-dink agency is because you want to come here or whatever, or there has to be a reason because no one cares about us. Because, like, I can't even tell what Manuel's thing is. He's just some...
He has a weird, like, fish hat on.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas, like, Ida just straight up looks like Shredder with chrome boosters all over. So, like, Ida looks
Ida's
sweet.
Wearing Ingenium's outfit.
Oh, okay, right? Which is awesome. Yes, yeah. It's Shredder, Power Ranger, Hot Rod.
I like when they, like, flash to all the different students and so we could see who they're interning under and try to deduce what the the boss's abilities are, or bosses, I don't know what you would call that.
Yeah,
supervisors?
The pro heroes.
Pro heroes.
Yeah, yeah. We get a fun montage coming up here soon on that. And we see some more hands guy stuff. Tamura. Tamura is definitely his name, which I kept forgetting. And he's trying to recruit Stain. And it seems like they both have the common goal of killing All Might. And they seem different personality-wise, but it seems like, hey, bad guys want to, you know, enemy of my enemy is my friend type thing. I found it funny that the warp gate guy is wearing like a bartender suit.
Mm.
It's just a smoky purple thing hanging out of a suit and actually standing behind a bar. So yeah. That seems to be their base of operations. And there's like a blank TV screen that is speaking through it. And he seems to be some sort of like higher power that we have not been introduced to yet. And then we go back to kind of the montage stuff. And we meet my favorite guy. I think we saw him before, but did not quite know his name was Best Genist.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember if we were like early in the show.
We did see Best Genist early on.
Yeah, we're starting to see more of him now. And I got to say, I really like Best Genist. He is just a man that is wearing denim all over his body. Mm-hmm. Up to his, like, nose and wears a belt around his face.
Yeah, he has, like, pants on his face.
Yeah, it's a good look. And on the back of his head, there are, like, butt pockets of jeans.
Mm-hmm. He has a little belt around the waist of the face jeans.
It's like if you just took a pair of jeans and somehow just kept pulling them up until it was almost at eye level.
Mm-hmm.
And it morphed to your body and your whole body was jeans.
Or if a pair of jeans, instead of having two tubes for legs, had one tube. And then it was really tiny, and then you pulled it over your head like a ski scarf kind of thing. Those big scarves, not really scarves, but those like neck warmer kind of things that like go up past your schnoz.
Oh yeah, yeah, that you pull up on like super cold, windy days.
Yeah, and yeah, then yeah. There was like a tiny little baby belt that you put around the waist. And,
yeah,
yeah, he was just wearing pants on his face. That's all I was saying.
I don't know if he has a power or if he just wears pants on his face.
Well, he does have a power, and he demonstrated his power he kind of restrained Bakugo. And I think it, despite him being very famous and well known, his power seems kind of, I don't know, sad, pathetic. Like, he just can spontaneously create jeans, I guess.
Yeah, he like threads. Shoots weird cotton out, like a weird, like, lamer Spider-Man. kind of tie people up. I guess it's more than we see from some of these other pro heroes coming up, mm-hmm. Who just seem to do photo shoots and shit.
Well, but, okay, yeah, go ahead.
But we meet, Fourth Kind. So Fourth Kind is this big dude with four arms.
He just looks like a mob boss with four arms.
Yeah, it's like if Goro was a mob boss and had rings on every finger,
mm-hmm.
And he hires the hard bros.
Tetsu, 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 and Kirishima.
Yes, and it's just a lot of them sitting in his office in the next couple episodes, so not really sure what their whole deal is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ururaka. Oh God, I gotta get better at this. Okay, Ururaka.
Mm-hmm.
You try.
Ururaka.
Okay. Oh, you go ooh, not you.
Is it ooh or you?
I never know with like Ubisoft, Ubisoft. I used to always say Ubisoft, but I think I've transitioned into saying Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound better?
I mean, it sounds better, but I thought I hear them say Ururaka more than Ururaka.
Okay, I'm gonna try to train myself to say Ururaka. Is working with Gunhead.
Yeah.
Who you'd never guess. Just a dude with a gun head.
He's got some guns on his head. He's big old, instead of a face with eyeballs and a nose and mouth, he's got some guns.
Yeah, it's just a weird turret face. No real sign of eyes or a mouth or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a snake-haired lady named Uwabami who has snakes in her hair. And did you get a sense of what her power was?
No, I had no idea. So I read her fanpedia thing.
Okay.
My Hero Academia.
Let's hear it.
Wikipedia. Okay, snake hair. The tips of her hair are snakes that can be used through the senses. The senses allow her to locate enemies and quickly capture enemies hiding or running away. Although this quirk lacks combative ability, she strongly contributes to arresting villains.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like she definitely...
She has like a radar.
Okay. That's cool.
I don't know what that has to do with snakes, but...
Yeah. I guess if she's using them like weird whip, like, you know, like capturing people like with the snakes, like if they coil around and immobilize the bad guys, that could maybe work. But we've not seen her in action yet.
We've just seen her go to a photo shoot and she's... And the reason she chose Momo and Itsuka, whose quirk is Big Fist, was because they were just pretty girls.
Yes. And she says as much. And yeah, later on, we definitely just see them sitting around while she's getting photos taken of her. Mm-hmm. So not in action yet. Death Arms, who we met early in the series, hires Jiro, the headphones girl. Mount Lady hires Grape Kid, which I love, and I think they showed her, what, like, laying on the couch while
eating
he was...
chips and he's just cleaning.
Yeah, which I could watch a whole episode about what's going on there. Todoroki, of course, gets hired by his father, Endeavor, which I have a feeling we have not seen the last of whatever's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get kind of a training thing here with Deku and Gran Torino, where Deku wants to learn how to use One for All more naturally. And so he goes to, like, this alleyway at night, and he's jumping around. There's a cool, like, animation that teaches you how to do wall jumps in Mario that, you know, he's trying to learn how to, like, shift his power from his legs to his arms and all that stuff. You know, it's him looking like a dope falling in trash bags while people are walking by and everything. I'm a fan of this stuff whenever Deku's, like, trying hard to, like, learn a new thing.
Well, you're improve. A sucker for training montages.
It's the greatest thing in the world. It's Rocky is 19 movies of training montages, and they're the most inspirational things I've ever seen in my life. But they do a good job of animating Deku as super tired in the morning when Gran Torino greets him. And this is a whole weird thing. A microwave shows up in what you notice first as a Omozon box with the Amazon logo. And Gran Torino's is way into frozen food, so right. I'm really relating to Gran Torino here. And he flips out about how the plate in the microwave wasn't turning when Deku tried to heat up these frozen fish pastries or something.
They're pastries in the shape of fish. Apparently it's something that's common in Japan, but personally I would not want to eat a pastry that looks like a fish.
Is it supposed to have like a fish taste?
No, I don't think so. I think it's supposed to be like a dessert kind of pastry. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's just shaped like a fish.
I don't want to think about fish when I'm eating pastries.
Neither do I. And also, heating up pastries in the microwave, like, pastries are all about texture. That's a terrible way to heat them.
You're big on the oven heating up.
Well, I mean, if certain foods is acceptable for a microwave heat up, like soups and certain things like that. Certain frozen meals and shit like that. But, like, pastries, you want to do that in the oven. It's idiocy. I mean, he's so picky about these pastries and, you know, not heating up right. What does he expect?
Yeah, it's unclear whether Gran Torino just wanted these pastries and then Deku came upon this epiphany, or if this was like this master work of Gran Torino being like, oh, here's how he'll understand One for All.
No, I think it was Deku just extracting stuff himself. Yeah,
Gran Torino just wanted the pastries.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, the fish things came out too cold because the plate in the microwave was too big and didn't rotate, which I thought was a really funny reason for Gran Torino to get super pissed off. But yeah, it gives him this epiphany where he starts thinking about, like, oh, okay, the pastries were only hot in one area and the rest was cold, so that means I shouldn't flip the switch off of One for All, and that'll spread the energy throughout my whole body. Like, I understand what he was trying to say, and the animation helps here because you can see it kind of coursing throughout his body. But he, instead of, like, putting it all into one finger and then flicking, or one punch or one jump or something, he just needs to always kind of be at a certain level of One for All throughout his body during fights, and has to learn how to, like, have it be an extension of himself rather than, like, a special weapon he pulls
exactly
out.
Yeah, because he thinks about his classmates and how they've had these quirks for however many years. I mean, I assume like 15, 16, I don't know how old they are, but you know, he obviously is at a disadvantage as far as that goes, but he has to train himself to constantly be experiencing the power so that when he does, it doesn't overwhelm him or break his bones or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what
he's... Yeah, it's cool. It's a good way of explaining that. And, like, I really don't know how much... Like, it's a good way of shifting it up because, like, if every other Deku fight going forward in the series is him just, like, charging up a fist and then it gets hurt, or charging up a toe and then it gets hurt.
Useless, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't think that could keep being interesting. I think they got some good mileage out of that and told a good story, but, like, this is a nice natural escalation of that quirk, I think. And then, yeah, this last episode of the bunch, some more training stuff. Gran Torino does, like, a, hey, you've got 3 minutes to hit me, and while he's bouncing around the room. And I think Deku winds up, like, scratching his cheek barely, and he's got more that he's got to work on, basically.
Right, but Gran Torino seems impressed by him and thinks he has potential.
Yeah, totally. Some more kind of montage stuff of the pro heroes with their new interns. Gunhead is hosting a karate class, which I love that the guy with a gun for a head is teaching melee combat. Best Genist is basically doing dashing Cody Rhodes grooming lessons to Bakugo and, like, sitting him in a chair and giving him a weird haircut while all of his, like, weird dudes watch and everything. Still loving, like, can't wait to see where Best Genist and Bakugo go, because they seem like a comic relief side story right now. This is where the photo shoot thing happens with the snake lady. Interesting thing here where a police officer is speaking with, like, normal human All Might, or, like, sickly human All Might at UA, and they're talking about Nomu, who was, like, the weird bird brain guy from the League of Villains that got captured and is
the one that attacked All Might, that All Might kind of had a rough time defeating it.
Totally, like, super strong thing with the exposed brain. Like, he's been getting interrogated, and they found out that there's, like, no brain activity for himself at all. And they looked up some stuff, and he used to be just some, like, low-level thug. And he got, like, genetically modified to have four people's DNA in him at once, which they were clearly trying to give, like, one thing multiple quirks.
Right.
Like, I don't know if this is Tamura or who's doing this, or the boss of the League of Villains or whatever, but some real weird genome soldier stuff going on with Nomu, which I think that's a really interesting thing, and I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes.
Right.
We actually are about to get a little hint at where that's going, which I think is really interesting. And All Might seems pissed, and at one point he says, "Don't tell me he's back again." And I assume that's referring to maybe the big boss.
Yeah, the one talking through the TV.
Yeah, because Tamura seems like a kid, and the way All Might was talking about it makes it sound like it might be, like, the adult guy in charge of the operation.
Yeah, yeah. I think even Tamura, like, is shamed by Stain. Like, I think Stain can even, like, one-up Tamura, so I doubt he's the head honcho of all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a feeling we're going to learn a lot of that stuff in these next five episodes based on how this goes. One thing they've started doing here that I really appreciate is, I don't know if it's just for these episodes or if it's this way going forward, but they will cut to a hero and there will be, like, this text on screen being like, here's this character.
Even it's if like an ID card.
Yeah, even if you've already met them, but it's a nice reminder, like, oh, here's Uraraka. Her quirk is zero gravity or whatever. Like,
and they say the favorite food.
Yeah, I think that stuff is great. And, like, there's even more detailed ones when they go to commercials sometime, which I hope they keep doing that, because that's a great way. There's a lot of characters on the show. Yep. And so we go back to Manuel and Ida, and he's saying that pros can't use their quirks for selfish reasons, like for their own desires. And I think he knows that Ida is, like, looking for revenge, and he's just like, no, you can't use your quirk for that. Like, that's, like, a strict, he says it's, like, regulated at one point. So I don't know if that's against the law or if you get banished from
it's fucking government working. Regulating our bodies.
Right. Yeah.
Our damn bodies, quirks. Our choice.
Yes. So, yeah, that's interesting that it's almost like they're a police force of sorts, and, you know, there are rules governing, like, the quirks and things like that. At this point, Tamura brings a bunch of new Nomu-like brain creature things out of the warp gate on a skyscraper in Hosu City. And
there's a bunch of Nomus.
Yeah, they clearly, like, they look like Nomu as far as the exposed brain and the weird eyes and all that stuff. Like, they're creepy-looking creatures. And there's, like, one flying one. There's, like, different body types and stuff. So I think we're about to start seeing, like, this, like, army of these, like, modified Nomu creatures or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that happens real quick after Stain essentially told the League of Villains guys that he didn't want to join them because he doesn't agree with their motivations or lack of conviction or whatever.
Yeah.
So then in frustration, I guess, the hands guy unleashes these Nomus onto Hosu City.
Yeah, and we don't really know exactly where Tamura and Stain stand with each other right now because, yeah, both bad guys, but it doesn't seem like they're on the same page right now. But Gran Torino wants to take Deku to Shibuya to get some fight experience out in the wild, just, you know, finding little petty thieves
Shibuya?
Or some way, to find people to fight there. I assumed it was Shibuya from, I think they said Tokyo, which it's a really, like, bustly part of.
But is it Shibuya or Shibuya? I thought it was Shibuya.
Yeah, I'm probably mispronouncing it. That's where I stayed a couple times in Japan. It's the part where you see the like super busy cross street and that big 109 building. Mm-hmm. We saw a lot of that in Terrace House. I think that was where Riku went to go work. But a building explodes outside the window of the train, and we find out that the brain monsters, the Nomu, are fucking stuff up. And Gran Torino kind of swoops into action, you know, kind of knocks a guy out of the train and everything. But it cuts away to Stain, who has Native. It's a pro hero named Native, like an American Indian type character that we have not seen at all before, pinned up against the wall. But Ida jets in, and Stain kind of knocks his mask off with a sword and everything. Mm-hmm. And Ida,
you know, they're in Japan. I don't think they're like Native Americans as we know them in Japan. And I don't think they wore the kind of Native American garb.
Didn't he have, I thought he had like the feather and stuff. I thought they were.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's a Native American thing.
Yeah. I wonder what that like quirk would be that would make you like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
but they're in Japan. So wouldn't it be like, wouldn't the natives of Japan look different than the natives of America?
1,000%. Yeah. Like they're clearly going for like a Native American look for whatever native is.
Yeah. I think some people would find that problematic.
Oh, as far as like,
well,
yeah,
they're not,
I mean,
they're calling him a native, but he's native, looks like a Native American and not a Native Japanese guy. I don't know what natives of Japan look like, but
yeah, I have no idea. I thought it was weird that we like didn't get any kind of introduction to him, and all of a sudden he's like pinned up against the wall. Like, mm-hmm. That's the introduction of the character that who knows if we'll ever see again.
You know what? I bet Native Japanese people look a lot like Japanese people, because isn't Japanese like pure Japanese? Like, it's not like some colonial.
It wasn't a melting pot thing of like, you know, America.
And like killed everyone there and took their land and shit like it was here.
Yeah, I think America's kind of an exception. Like, I think a lot of countries are just the people that came from that country. Whereas, yeah, America's got a weird history.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I'm curious about this Native guy, but it seems like he's dying pretty soon, so.
Yeah, we'll see if we ever see him again. I don't know. But yeah, Ida says that he is going to defeat Stain, and he does refer to himself as Ingenium. Mm-hmm. So at this point, obviously, he's feeling comfortable with taking his brother's name. And Stain says, then so be it, die, and we'll cut off. So I think we didn't plan on it this way, but I think we've segmented these, you know, doing five at a time here. Mm-hmm. Like the last one, the sports festival ended. This one, we're kind of learning their new things and their new mentors and everything. And we're introducing the Stain arc and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think this next five, I'm sure it's going to be the Stain arc in full swing.
Yeah. I wonder if they planned it that way. Like every arc will be kind of around five episodes.
Yeah. Right? It was like kind of a perfect divide.
Yeah.
In the
we're
way
geniuses,
this
Dan.
We're really
as
good.
Evidenced by my thinking that Japanese people had some kind of Native American equivalent.
Right. Yes. Genius is what we always call ourselves.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I'll admit that.
I am a bigger idiot. You know that. Anyway, that'll be it for this week on My Hero Academia's coverage. As always, we want to thank anyone who helps us out with our listener support program.
Thank you.
It is a thing. Or if you go to panningthestream.com, Anchor has it set up real easy and secure for you. You can help us out at $1, $5, or $10 a month. Help us keep the lights on and keep us doing Panning the Stream each
and
every week for you.
It would be great if you did.
It would be awesome if you did.
No hard feelings if you don't.
Not at all. Thank you just for listening to the show. Mm. We really, really appreciate that. But if you happen to be a supporter, you will get an extra little bonus here in the form of a Bonku.
Indeed.
Which, Bonk, do we have a new supporter this
week?
We
do, Daniel.
Who's that?
And his name is Jared. And Jared, I wrote a Bonku for you.
You almost said Aiku.
No, I didn't.
That's trademarked.
No, I never said that word.
Okay.
I said Bonku. That's what I intended to say. That's what I said. That whole sentence, if you go listen to it again, I just said Bonku. Okay, Jared, this is the Bonku for you. Hear the name Jared, and think of puppies and cake, not the Subway guy.
That's a good clarification, Dan. That's good. All right.
Yeah, you know the Subway guy, Jared.
He's a bad man.
He's like, unfortunately, the only famous Jared I can think of, right?
Jared, Kushner.
Oh, Jared Kushner. Was there a baseball player named Jared?
I'm sure at some point there was a baseball player named
no,
Jared.
Like one of the guys that like is super famous, like Jared.
I just know Frank Thomas.
No, who's the name of the guy that your dad is mad at because he has a pretty wife?
That's every pro athlete that's ever lived.
He's really famous and he was a Yankee guy. And
Derek Jeter?
Oh, okay, that's Derek.
or Alex Rodriguez or Johnny Damon or literally any baseball player.
But none of them are named Jared.
I'm sure at some point there is a rich, successful...
Anyway, it's unfortunate that the only famous Jared I could think of is Jared from Subway, because as most people know by now, he's a fucking pedophile, gross rapist guy. Mm-hmm. And also, he has one of those weird faces where, like, he'll be smiling all the time, but he never actually smiles. He just, like, exposes his teeth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If I was in a room talking to him and he smiled like that at me, I think I would just leave the room.
Yeah.
Even if, like, I didn't know his whole deal.
You know that emoji that has, like, the oval mouth? Like, that's what face he makes all the time.
It's like he studied how to smile because he can't feel the human emotion and approximated himself.
Yes.
It's not great. Yeah.
He sucks.
He's a bad person.
And come on, really, the Subway diet, you're going to eat a fucking... Like, what would it be, like, for a foot-long sandwich would be, like, what, 1,000 calories or something?
Depending on what you're getting. If you're getting one of them meatball marinara garlic breads, those are, like, 1,500, 2,000, something like that.
Gee,
but they are delicious.
Well, for a foot of food, I guess that's what you would think it would be. But come on, Subway diet. Give me a break, man.
Yeah. Hey, Subway's pretty good.
Hey, I agree. Subway every now and then is okay. But, yeah. I mean, a Subway diet where you're going to get it every day. Not to mention that would be really expensive.
Oh, yeah. It's a bad idea. I can't believe they ran with that thing for so long.
Yeah.
With that guy. Mm. All right. So do you have any suggestions?
All he had to do was just eat sandwiches. And he couldn't even do that.
Right.
What a fucking loser.
Yeah, rotten hell, Jared.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any suggestions for the folks at
home?
Yes, I do. What do you have, Bonk?
I've been watching the show Killing Eve on Hulu. I think it's like on BBC or whatever. It's
Sandra Oh, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's really, really good. It's a really good show. It's about like spy stuff and this female assassin who's like kind of loony but really competent at her job of killing people. And Sandra Oh is this like dedicated investigator who just can't stop even though people tell her, don't do this anymore, it's dangerous, or you're off the job. But she's dedicated and she won't stop until she has what she wants.
She sounds like a Lady Jack Bauer, who's a fucking hero.
Well, it's a really good show. I recommend checking it out if you want something fun, action-packed to watch, and Sandra Oh is pretty cool. So, yeah, do it to it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And you said there's a few seasons that are out now, right? You started
from
the beginning?
There's just one
season. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought there was. I thought it's been on for a while, but there's just one season, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. My suggestion would be a book I just read. Also a movie. I thought the movie was good, but the book just knocked my socks off.
Ooh.
It is Gone Girl.
More like Gone Socks.
It's like Gone. That's the review. They used that pull quote next to the New York Times things and everything. I said more like Gone Socks. Dan Reichert painting the stream. No, it's a fucking killer book. It is, again, the movie.
No pun intended.
Well, hey, you don't know what happened in that. I am hesitating from saying anything about the plot of it because it is an easily spoilable book that just goes some places, and you always hear the phrase page turner. Mm-hmm. And like I flew through the like 430 pages or whatever in like a weekend.
He's a voracious reader, this guy.
I love it. And like this one, I think this one gripped me more than any of the other books I've read.
Wow.
It's the structure of it and the way it pays off and everything is so good. Mm-hmm. You may have seen the movie with Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. They did a good job of bringing it to the screen. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of detail and everything in the book that I just, oh man, I can't recommend it enough. It was great.
That's awesome.
Yes. But what would also be awesome is if anyone listening, if you want to go to iTunes and give us the old 5-star, give us a little review if you're enjoying Painting the Stream. I forget to say that most weeks, but I'll say it this week. So that really helps us out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's really nice to see when people do that. Also, if you got any suggestions or feedback or anything, you can follow us at Pan the Stream on Twitter. You can email us at paintingthestream@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. But that is going to be it for this week on Painting the Stream.
Yes.
Obviously, we will be finishing up My Hero Academia.
No, I think we should just stop forever.
Yeah, right, as this new arc is about to start, and we still love the show. But yes, stay tuned to the Twitter to see when that next My Hero episode will go up and when all of our new episodes will go up.
Yes.
And thanks, as always, to Tom Monda.
Tom Monda, I saw Thank You Scientist again this past weekend.
You did. You had a great time.
And they were great. They played a totally different set, and so I heard a bunch of their other new songs, and they were fucking just amazing. Unbelievably good. Yeah. And really catchy. It's like, you can appreciate the technicality of it, of course, but it's also just really catchy music. So if you're intimidated by prog, just give them a chance because, I mean, it's music I think anyone can enjoy. It's got, like, the technical stuff that if you're a musician, you obviously really appreciate, but the songs are just, they're catchy. They're bangers. What can I say?
Undeniably talented group of dedicated dudes.
Oh, yeah. They're on another level.
Yes. And you will be hearing Tom Manda's guitar work right now as we're playing the outro, which is also the intro to Painting the Stream. Mm-hmm. It's the theme song. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
And thanks to all you for listening. Thanks, as always, Bonk, for joining me.
Of course. Always thank you pleasure. For joining me.
Whoa. We will join together for more Painting the Stream. I don't know. Take it or leave it. All we'll right, see
let's
you next
get
week.
Out of here.
All right, see ya. Bye.